It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Sean, can you say peanut butter?
Peanut butter.
You're getting a little pop. Little pop. I need you to be across the mic like Edwin. Okay?
Peanut butter.
No.
Peanut
look
butter.
Look at how Edwin's is. Yes.
Peanut butter.
Say peanut butter pretzels.
Peanut butter pretzels.
I want peanut butter pretzels on the first day of August.
I'll take peanut butter pretzels on the first day of August.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and sales rep for Dow Chemical, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, Beat Bandit.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Everybody poops. Yes, I do. There's no other way to get rid of the food. Where's Dwight? Gone.
Where'd he go?
His day place?
The office.
What office?
Dude, there's just a little bit of worry in their voice when they're like, where's Dwight?
Gone.
Where is he?
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week, after we cover our main topic, we'll go to the conference room for some listener questions and comments. And we'll finish up the show today with our Ordinary Things segment. But today's topic, Moe's Shroot. Moe's Shroot, this is typically where I do a long list of AKAs. Moe's doesn't really have any AKAs, but he does have many skills, such as ping pong, painting in the dark, trampoline, kidnapping, making platters of bacon, master of disguise, valeting, car jumping, manure fighting, wrestling, and baiting. Dwight is a decent baiter.
That's a master baiter.
Thank you. Yeah, you got it there. Dwight is a decent baiter, but his cousin Moe's, now that's a master baiter.
The world Moe's shines on Moe's.
Moe's Shroot, played by the great Mike Schur, a writer and producer on The Office, co-creator of Parks and Rec, and creator of The Good Place. Just a fantastic.
Yeah, what a cachet right there of shows to be involved with.
He's fabulous. But I did find a great clip of Mike talking about playing Moe's on The Office. And we'll listen to that real quick here.
Writer on NBC's The Office and played Dwight's cousin on the show as well.
This is from Entertainment, or People in Entertainment.
On screen or off?
Whatever my favorite Office moment is not on screen, because playing Moe's Shroot was a waking nightmare.
Really?
Yes.
It was. So why'd you decide to do it?
I did not decide to do it. My boss, Greg Daniels, forced me to do it as a way to cause me pain. And it was terrible. I had to grow a real neck beard. Every time after that, he let me use a fake beard, which is maybe worse because those beards are terrible. Every episode we shot was in like August or September in the middle of like the Central Valley in California, where it was like 130 degrees. I was wearing work boots and like wool clothes, and I had to do stupid things. And they would give me like one line, and then they would always say the same thing, which is like, I think it's funnier if he doesn't say anything, and they would cut my line.
Oh, no.
It was brutal.
That does sound awful.
This is awful.
That idea of like, oh, it's funnier if he actually doesn't say anything.
Yeah. Like,
been here all day.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Mike, why don't you like dress head to toe in wool and put on a fake neck beard and just stand in the background?
Put a bag
on top
head,
of your full-time job writing and producing the show.
That's really funny. So often when you hear these interviews, the actors are always just kind of like, oh, you know, it was a joy to play whatever character. It's fun to hear like the background of what it's actually like to play that side character, you know.
Yeah, love it. But yeah, guys, Moe's Shroot. This should be a fun episode. I know Moe's isn't in much of the show. Mm-hmm. But important nonetheless.
But he makes a big impact whatever he is.
Yeah.
Comedically at least.
Yeah.
He is the very personification of the less is more idea. Mm-hmm. Which is probably why we like Nate so much too, and some of those other tiny characters, is they're just, you don't get a lot, so the little bits you get are precious.
You're always left wanting more.
Just getting the scraps.
I definitely, I loved Cousin Moe's before, but in prepping for this episode, just a lot of moments that really made me laugh in a way that I had kind of forgotten about. I think Moe's is just such a funny character for comedic relief, and he brings so much weirdness into Dwight's story and background. He's like the personification of Shroot Farms a little bit, in that mm-hmm. it's this background thing about Dwight that we don't often get to see.
Most definitely. Yeah, he is the more Dwight version of Dwight.
And most of Moe's, so often Moe's is portrayed off screen, or at least he's not featured in the episodes all the time. He's often alluded to by Dwight in his stories around the office. I think the first actual mention and appearance of Moe's is in Office Olympics, when Dwight says, I do own property. I own this beet farm and I run it with my cousin Moe's, and he holds up that picture of the two of them together. Mm-hmm. I think there's another quote from Mike Schur where he talks about how he thought it would be a one-time thing in a photo, and it ended up being an ongoing recurring part.
Yeah, it's jump cut to 130 degrees yeah. Central Valley.
Fear on your shirt. Standing in the barn.
12-hour day. Yeah.
But yeah, Moe's also is inspired by a real person from a reality TV show called Amish. Amish in the City. That's right.
We found this YouTube clip that has a lot of it's not one episode. I think it's a bunch of clips from a bunch of different episodes that are all kind of stacked together. But yeah, I guess why don't we play some of that now?
My name is Moe's. I am 24. I grew up on an Amish farm in Greenwood, Wisconsin. Where I grew up in, I was known for being the scholar type person. I taught school, invented things.
This tractor is one of my most precious inventions.
He's I made whittling it when this I was tractor. It's not a
in
real
the fourth
tractor.
Grade.
I wasn't really given the option to go Rumspringer like most of the young folks were. I was forced to be baptized when I turned 17.
And after like 3 or 4 years of being a member of the church, I decided to take my own Rumspringer. I'm getting ready to go to the big city. Never been to the beach. I've never been on an airplane.
It's fascinating, right?
Now I'm invested.
Yeah. Wait, will you cut to that other moment that I mentioned?
So do you like little puzzles or tricks?
No.
You don't like those?
No.
Not regular puzzles?
No.
You don't? Okay. I brought a bunch of those, so.
That's the moment. That was it.
I am an inventor, and I brought a whole bunch of toys that I invented into the house with me.
Do you mind if we do this? It would help me.
Oh, my gosh.
He's so disappointed. I know. Do you like, I like when he says, like, little puzzles or little tricks. No.
No. Hard no. It's,
oh, yeah. Oh, I brought a lot of those.
I don't know if we'll include all of that, but maybe we will.
Whatever. Yeah. Oh, I had never seen that before. That is like, I didn't think, I've heard that it was based on that. I didn't think it was actually named Moe's, and like the way he looks and acts is pretty similar.
The way
similar.
That he That's... talks is pretty similar.
Yeah, oh I remember God. Watching that show when it was on TV. It was not that I was super into it, but it was a memorable thing to watch. And it is funny going through and watching some more of that clip. Like, I don't think the character like the personality of Cousin Mose is based on this person. Mm-hmm. But obviously the name and maybe a little bit of the, like you said, the cadence of the voice or something like that. But it is funny to see that there is like that, that there was an inspiration for Cousin Mose.
He's a character that like I compared him to Nate earlier, and there's just some characters that are, you know, they're in like, you know, maybe a dozen total episodes of the show, you know, and that if they're in an episode, they're maybe in it for one, maybe two scenes, but they're just kind of these pure comedy characters. Like there's nothing with Nate, with, I like even Todd Packer might be on that level. Mm-hmm. And with, Mose, of course, like those three in particular, like yeah. they're there to create pure comedy situations. And they're usually like, they're all such crazy personalities in their own way. And, but Mose is there to provide this whole other, like a snapshot in the DNA of Dwight. And we've talked of like, why would Dwight be so into working at an office if he was raised on a farm? And I feel like they explore some of that dynamic with Mose. Like that's why Mose is there.
Definitely.
Like maybe Dwight doesn't want to be at the farm, or like farm life can lead to becoming Mose and he doesn't want that.
Well, in early seasons of The Office, Dwight is so subservient to Michael. He's Michael's right-hand man, like attending to his every sort of whim. And it's funny that Cousin Mose is someone who like looks up to Dwight a little bit, or that Dwight is clearly, you know, the one in charge at Shrewd Farms. There's a quote from Zeke, Dwight's cousin in the farm. He says, growing up with Dwight and Mose was not easy. Dwight was obviously the cool one, and Mose was the visionary, which left me to be the comedian.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how it's like, yes, like we do see like Mose looking up to Dwight and Dwight kind of like knowing what's best for Mose. But there's also allusions to Mose being kind of a genius in their universe. And Dwight looks up to Mose in some ways as well.
Could be. I mean, it sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. I like what you said there, Edwin, because it is like you see this in movies and other stories, but someone who's like constantly being slightly pushed away, like Dwight is with Michael, mm-hmm. like he's always number two, he's never the boss, will take out that frustration and anger on someone in their own life or in their home life. And I feel like we see him doing that with Mose a bit, where it's like, well, at least I can control Mose and tell him what to do. Like Dwight is the manager of Shrewd Farms and his number two is Mose, and so he treats him like that, and then he takes that to the office and the dynamic shifts. And so Mose is very important to Dwight in that way.
Mose is my cousin and he lives here. He will always be my best friend, unless things go well with Ryan today, in which case I won't hang out with Mose so much anymore.
That's a funny part of initiation I forget about, where it's like that's the only time where like Dwight is trying to be friends with Ryan, mm-hmm. and then he seems to just bail on that.
Well, later on when they're plotting against Jim, Dwight is always talking about how Ryan is late for their meetings and I'm not interested in anything I have to make myself.
Yeah.
You're 20 minutes late. Yeah.
Well,
Go ahead.
I was just going to play one more clip here. That's one of the most revealing things that we get to find out about why Mose is the way he is.
I didn't see my father for the first 2 years of my life. I thought my mother was my father and my wet nurse was my mother.
And that's a common mistake.
Turned out fine for me, but Mose. Oh, same story, different ending.
And we know the youngest raised the oldest, mm-hmm. In the Shrewd family. We also know they're married in their own graves. A lot of things that could mess with a kid's head if you grow up on Shrewd Farms. And Mose seems like he really took the brunt of it.
So often when Mose is featured on camera, he's contributed some kind of mischief. Like he's putting the raccoon in Meredith's car,
yeah.
or put the manure down, Mose. Do not throw it. There's a lot of that going on. And there's something really funny about whenever Dwight has to yell at Mose to Mose.
Yeah.
Where are the animals?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, he kidnaps Angela and like, yeah, he can be a harbinger of chaos in a way. Mm-hmm.
He's that person in the movies that like Dwight has Mose do all the actual crimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that if the police ever come, it's like, I didn't do any of that. Mose did all of that. Yeah. And like Mose would get like 3 life sentences and Dwight couldn't actually be proven to have done anything. Like he makes Mose do a lot of his dirty work, mm-hmm. like painting in the dark, for example, painting the daycare center.
Welcome, children.
He has him do all sorts of weird chores around the farm. And the few times we see him away from the farm, it's usually he's doing something Dwight clearly ordered him to do. Whether he knows what he's doing or not.
That scene of him painting in the dark, too, makes me laugh because it's like, does Dwight introduce Mose every single time? Like, I feel like he's always like, and you remember my cousin Mose?
They had a pretty eventful stay at Shroot Farms. How could they ever forget?
Right.
Yeah. It is funny. That's true.
There, you know, you mentioned Nate, and I feel like Nate and Mose are very analogous characters. And I think it's funny. There's even in the episode where we meet Nate for the first time, it's Dwight picking up day laborers. And then the INS agent, Mose Schrute, drops them off in the middle of Harrisburg and tells him it's Canada. And in that moment, there's almost like a handoff between Mose to Nate because Nate becomes Dwight's right-hand man around the office. And they use Mose a little bit less in that where – if it weren't for Nate, you would expect Mose to be around more to do these kinds of things. But I feel like when they do deploy Mose, it's a little more strategic. It's a little more unexpected. And it also probably has to do with the fact that Mike Schur might not have been available all the time to appear as an actor or that they wanted to shoot at Shroot Farms.
Shoot at Shroot.
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, I like the comparison to Nate, too, because like Nate, we don't ever get a Mose Michael moment, do we?
I was going to bring that up. I was trying to think of if they ever really interact.
The only time that I can think of that they're actually on screen together is that Mose is there with the raccoon putting it in Holly's car. But it's not they have they address each other in any way. So,
Somebody who wears a fear on his shirt and is supposed to be the embodiment of fear, he does represent fight or flight. And most of the time, or all the time, it's flight. Mose will just drop the cage and run.
Yeah, yeah. Another time is when Mose is applying for a job at Dunder Mifflin with
people person.
Mose, it says here that you're a sales rep for Dow Chemical. You realize?
Yes.
I've never seen you go to work. Okay.
Okay. Runs.
No, Mose.
He does it again. Does it again when Angela cuts him off when he's dressed as Dwight in the Free Family Portrait Studio. Another time, he just runs away.
Operation Phoenix.
Yeah.
Where he gets out of. No, Mose. And she just starts hitting him. Where is he? And he just runs away.
And we should talk about the way he runs.
Yeah.
Because that's a very consistent part of Mose's character, is this very stilted, stiff arms, really not moving much.
But what's incredible is that's
clearly heavy shoes.
Yeah, that's how Dwight runs, right? I mean, that's how Dwight runs in Fun Run, I do believe. So I don't know who did it first, but I appreciate that there is a Shroot run.
And I do like that physical side of getting to know, like you find stuff out about the Shroots based on just how they act, not necessarily even what they say. And this is, to me, it's clear that Mose's parents, whoever they are, decided, you know, Mose isn't a fighter and he shouldn't put himself in tough situations. And like, let's just teach this boy to just run at the moment things he doesn't understand. Just run away.
You feel like the next step for Mose would be the strike, scream, run. As demonstrated by Creed.
Yes.
I think, too, that in that moment in Free Family Portrait Studio, you can...
Ah, in Free Family Portrait Studio, when they shoot the Shroots?
You get a good encapsulation of what the Dwight-Mose dynamic is. When Dwight picks up the phone, and we don't know who's on the other end, and he says, Operation Phoenix is a go. Just get the car ready. That Dwight has this big plan, but he still has to tell Mose directly what to do. There's no... Yeah.
Yes. Also in Dwight K. Schrute, acting manager, of course.
Yes.
You'll never guess where I'm sitting. apparently, he learned how to use a telephone.
Allusion to Working
point.
Girl. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think, too, like, whenever that Mose is the greeter when people come to Shrewd Farms is another important part of his role. Outrunning the car in money, or as the valet in Garden Party.
Oh my God. The scene when he takes the keys from Toby and he, it's like Dwight has told him, like, this is your job. You must do it. And when Toby puts a little resistance up, he's like, it's a little bit finicky. Like, yeah. You have to give me your keys now. Give me your keys.
Have fun at the
thing. Puts the foot on the car and pulls the door open and wrestles it away from Dwight. Hands him a little pebble and then just drives his car straight into a cornfield.
It's the top of a chest of an acorn or the top chestnut. Of a,
yeah, that's right. Amazing. Just following orders blindly.
Well, and so often I think like Mose is played for comedic effect, but only in a line from Dwight where Dwight says to D'Angelo, if I wanted to see a pissing contest, I'd lock Mose in the chicken coop. Or when Dwight says that baby is a shrewd and unless someone taught Mose sex, that baby is mine.
Oh my gosh.
Who is this? It's Mose. Who do you think? Joke's on you. Mose doesn't know how to use the phone. A lot of that.
You gotta think if Mose was born to a different family in a different place, he would probably be in a lifetime of in and out of different outpatient programs for all sorts of different kinds of mental health treatment, but not on Shrewd Farms. They just never let him leave the farm.
He's a visionary there.
There's a deleted scene from Michael where he says,
in
27
culture,
years
you'd
old.
Be considered a promising up and comer.
There's a deleted scene in which Michael says, 27 years old, never left the farm. He calls Mose a weirdo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true.
Yep. Okay, weirdo.
I wonder what he considers the farm if the office is the day place. You know, what does he call the farm? The world?
Yeah.
Day place.
I think,
a place for
what's,
day.
What do fish the far- call the right. water they swim in, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think to Mose, it's the world is the farm. Mm-hmm. And he has really little understanding of everything else. Although born only minutes from here, he speaks only German. Yeah.
I think the episode in which we get the most Mose content and the biggest understanding of Mose's life on the farm is in Money.
Definitely.
Obviously as the attendant for Shrewd Farms, the B&B, with Dwight as kind of the lead in charge of all the hospitality. Mose is there to get the bags. Mose has stolen the wires. Mose is mashing the beats. There's a lot, we get a lot of him there.
He's in the Jurassic Park shirt.
Yeah, when he's huddled in the corner watching Pam and Jim get their bedtime story.
the way he's kind of shaking is just so funny in that moment. Yeah,
there's a couple of deleted scenes from that episode that I actually hadn't seen until just recently. The first one being when Mose brings them the platter of bacon, right? That's a deleted scene. I hadn't seen that before.
Mountain of bacon.
A lot of bacon. And then also when he's like performing for them by doing like trampoline stunts and Pam and Jim aren't watching. Dude, it's just so great to see like a deleted scene that you've never seen before, or just any new office content that like actually makes you laugh so hard. I laughed so hard when Dwight is like, you guys really should be watching. He's working his ass off.
Yeah.
I can't even say it. I can't even. Because he says it so straight. You guys really should be watching.
You know what? That idea, you mentioned the mountain of bacon on the platter. It's a very shrewd thing to display food, a single food arranged, piled high on a platter. I'm thinking of the Scranton area hot dogs from Scranton.
Yes.
The mountain of bacon. Yeah, a hog maw. Yeah, there's a very shrewd presentation of just the gigantic platter of food.
Quantity over quality.
Yeah, exactly.
In the shrewds. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What would you say is your favorite Mose moment?
Oh,
I've got one. It's in the finale when they're all talking about the people they love, and then Mose turns longingly to look at a scarecrow.
Yes, that's right.
That is really good.
It's a very cinematic moment for the for the quote unquote documentary. But I love that.
I'd say my favorite for a while is that scene when, I mean, in Money, it's not even like Mose says it. It's when Dwight, when Jim asks if Mose has nightmares.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Ever since the storm. I don't know why. That's always just killed me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, so many. Yeah. Or what about like when Pam wakes up to the noise and looks out the window?
Yeah,
and we
yeah.
just spotlight on
what century is this
on Moe's in the outhouse,
the door.
Another favorite moment of Moe's moment of mine is another deleted scene of Andy when Andy and Angela go to Shroot Farms to look at it as a wedding venue.
Oh, yeah,
Andy is talking about how his wedding is going to be better than two people from.
Broccoli Rob or somebody like that.
Yeah, I think it's Gay Mike and Broccoli Rob or
Gay
something.
Gay Mike and Broccoli Rob. Yeah.
And behind him, Mose has just got a bag on his head and goes, Mose.
He says his own
and
name.
Scares him and then he runs away.
It is really good.
In that same episode, he also hits Andy with that deflated, like,
with the ball.
Yeah. I think there's a blooper too of him walking and trying to give them a painting.
Oh,
they're
really?
Sitting
oh.
in the yeah. It's either them or it's a Jim and Pam thing, but trying to give the visitors a painting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the first time he runs up next to Jim and Pam's car, the way they shoot that and how kind of quiet that scene is, and they're so perplexed as to what's going on. It's really well done. It's a great introduction to Moe's.
It also just makes me think of that Mike Schur quote at the beginning of the top, that we played at the top that just makes you think, All right, Mike, outrun the car.
Like, yeah, we're going to do this take. We got to get it just right. So this might take about 10 takes.
Or, I mean, when at the end of Money, when Pam is reading the review that she left on TripAdvisor, so much of that is Dwight and Moe's acting with Pam's voiceover. So that, again, no spoken lines from Moe's, but the goose walk where Dwight and Moe's are running around the house, or when they're making the beet wine together, there's just a lot of I guess it's nonverbal. The nonverbal physical comedy is really
the picture
funny.
Of them on the seesaw.
Yeah. Moe's and like, I seesaw all the time.
They have all sorts of fun together. You know what I just realized, Sean, that deleted scene with the trampoline.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Jim also says, like, oh, we paid for a show.
Yeah.
And then Dwight goes, he's right. Keep going.
Yeah.
I realized Dwight must be making a table because he's sawing off like wooden legs.
Right, right.
And I think that was the table making demonstration that we hear about in Money.
So that must be. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Table making never seems so possible.
Oh, man, I just
or,
love
no,
that.
Possible. Is that the right word?
Yeah, that's right.
I missed that quote. Okay.
Gosh, that scene is so funny. There's also a part where Jim is like, you're doing great, buddy. And Mose goes, the name's Mose, buddy. I can see why they cut it, because it like is so weird. It's a little clunky. It doesn't really make sense, but it makes me laugh.
It reminds me of, it dawns on me that when Dwight is interviewing Andy, he says, how do you make a table? And Andy says, you make a chair, but you don't sit on it.
Clearly needs to go to the table making demonstration.
Can I share a couple? I found a couple other Moe's moments that were either one is a deleted scene. This is just a talking head from Dwight. He says, my cousin Moe's best friend was a dog. One day he was foaming at the mouth, so I had to shoot him dead. Turns out he had only eaten one of Moe's cream pies. Did I feel bad for killing him? No, that's how you deal with a thief. And the other one comes from Shroot Space, which is a blog for Dwight, similar to Creed Thoughts, that I think was initially written by Rainn Wilson, but then eventually moved to the writing staff, but has been archived. And the entry is about when what Dwight wants at his funeral. And one of the things that he requests is, I want Jim to get on his knees and beg my forgiveness. And while he's in mid-cry, Moe's will hit him in the back of his head with an oar.
That's good.
Gosh,
what else do we say about Moe's?
I know. I'm just trying to think if we're missing any moments. There's only so few.
Yeah, I mean, there are a handful of a number of other moments where Dwight alludes to Moe's, or I mean Moe's and him playing ping pong in the in the warehouse. There's all sorts of moments. I think Moe's is such an important character to the show because as an ensemble show and as a comedy show, you need to have like those sort of accessory or tertiary characters that only come in every now and then but provide a lot of comedic relief. And I think you love them so much as a fan because you see them so infrequently and because they can surprise you. You can be like, oh yes, Moses in this episode as a viewer, you know? So it's a really important ingredient, even if it was unpleasant for Mike Schur in the moment.
Wait, I just, one of my favorite moments I forgot is when Dwight's trying to apologize to Ryan and he brings the gift basket that Moe's put together and he goes, and look, something he whittled.
Yeah.
It's that just grotesque little statue of like that's like that's the funniest thing.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that in his skills, whittling, of course.
Yeah. Which we see in Amish in the City. He's just sitting there whittling that little train.
The only other ones that come to mind that I can think of that we haven't mentioned are in heavy competition when Dwight's like, I can't help you anymore, Michael. And he says, is it Moe's? What happened with the well? He's, Moe's is fine. We roped the well off. and then later when Dwight says, when Jim is trying to keep Charles and Dwight out of the negotiation room, he's trying to keep Dwight from telling Charles about the Michael Scott Paper Company struggles. He says, what are your top five cases? Crack case is a pejorative term. You solve a case. The case of the beat band, missing beats from all over the farm. Turns out Moe's in socks, inside job. Oh, and then I'd have thought, if you'd have told me that I was creating a creature capable of my own destruction, I would have thought you were referring to the bull Moe's and I are trying to reanimate.
That's beautiful. I wanted to, a quick note on the something that Moe's whittled. It's almost an exact replica of a artifact called the Venus of Willendorf, which was a statue this guy found in like 1908.
Oh, wow.
And it was carved in limestone, not local to the area, and is estimated to be between 33,000 and 20,000 years old.
Wow.
It's one of the oldest like full artifacts that's been found. That was a carving like that.
Where was it found?
Maybe Moe's is a visionary in Austria. Yeah. Anyway,
well, on that note,
Moe's Schrute. Any final thoughts on Moe's? I mean, the finale is such an interesting one because, or maybe it's not the finale, but when Moe's kidnaps Angela, and thank you, and they're at the bar, and it's just funny to see Moe's like he's like at a booth with a beer with Nate, and Dwight's other friend from Company Picnic.
Rolf or Trevor?
Yes. Trevor. Yeah. And like he's the one chanting, if you want your bride, then buy us a drink. If you want your bride, buy us a drink. It's just funny to see like those times where like, you know, Dwight's other friends or family like just feel like seem to treat Moe's as normal, or he's just a regular member of the crew, which is
so funny. Like in Junior Salesman when they're all milling around in the conference room and it's Rolf and Trevor and Moe's and Sensei Ira, I believe, and then and Clark asked them how they all found out about the job, and Zeke says that he was talking about it in the shower. Hold on, let me find the quote real quick. Dwight's my cousin, so I overheard him telling my brother Moe's about the job opportunity in the shower. Clark, you were in the shower or he was in the shower? Zeke, everyone was in the shower. It's a cow shower, so there's like a ton of people in there.
Oh, man. I'm sure that we missed a couple of great Moe's moments or lines. If we did, you can go ahead and write to us about it. There you have it. Moe's Schrute. Let's go to the conference room for some listener questions.
All right, you know what? That's it. Conference room, 5 minutes.
First up, let's start with a voicemail from Sophia.
Hi, guys. My name is Sophia, and I'm calling from San Diego. I had an awkward office fan moment happen to me a few days ago where I met a friend of a friend, and we were introducing each other. Then my friend goes off to try on a new shirt And her friend that I just met says, oh, yay, fashion show. And I go, fashion show at lunch. And my friend's friend that I've just met stares at me and doesn't get the reference at all. And so my question for you guys is, what's the most awkward moment in which you've made an Office reference in public and the person you made it to did not understand? Thank you. Bye.
That is so funny, and I can imagine just I really hope she came at it with the energy that Kelly does.
Yeah. If you have no idea what that is, that would be very jarring.
It's not lunchtime.
Are we going to lunch after this? Or lunch? What?
It's like 4 p.m. What
the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. That is so awesome, Sophia. Thank you so much. I don't know about you guys. I have one that comes to mind that ends a little differently. I was working on a show, and we were building a set that was supposed to be an underground bunker. And I'm working with these two guys who are construction guys, and somebody was like, you know, oh, what is this? You know, what's this set supposed to be again? And somebody said, you know, oh, it's a bunker. And then just like a reflex, I just would go, bunker? Hardly. And as I'm finishing it, I'm just like, oh my God, I don't know these people. What am I doing? except it absolutely killed. I don't know. And I don't even think that they're Office fans. I think.
Yeah, that's what just she said. Idea as a whole, mm-hmm. or hardly know her. Those are a whole, I think a lot of people have probably fallen victim to those.
Yes.
Over the years.
But but at that moment I was like, oh my God, I can't be just doing this at work with people I don't know. What about, do you guys have one?
Yeah, go ahead, Edwin. I know you I feel like this happens a lot to Edwin.
It didn't, the one that I'm thinking of didn't actually happen. I didn't say it to anyone, but I thought it, and I thought, okay, so I told Alex this at one point, but I parked my car and I got out and I noticed that I was parked in front of a store. It was a feline spa and grooming thing, something like that. And I thought to myself, that's one aspect of small pet grooming, which is the line that the girl in the bar says to Michael. Well, Michael says, I've never met anyone who does that. You wash dogs? And she says, that's one aspect of small pet grooming. And I'm thinking that's a really weird thing that just linked together in my brain. But I'm that's glad hilarious. That there was nobody for me to try that out on.
Oh my God. I personally, the one that came to mind is I went out to, this was a few years ago, but I went out to lunch with some coworkers back when I had coworkers. And we were looking at the menu and I wanted something on the side, and we were going over the menu. I said, I'm going to order off the side. If it's not on the side, I send it back. And they didn't know what I was talking about. I think they thought I was just a total asshole in that moment. And then you have to do that terrible thing where oh, no, it's from The Office. There's this joke when they say this. And everyone's like, oh, yeah.
Funny.
I mean, in your defense, if the side salad came on top, you would send it back.
I would send it back. but I also wanted to share, because I got from this... on Twitter, this guy sent us, I think he's a radio announcer for a hockey team in Virginia. Oh. That's what I could find. He's verified on Twitter. His name's Blaine Stewart. Anyway, he sent us this thing. He said, I just did a microphone check before my show. The audio operator said everything sounded good. I responded, cool, cool, and then added, box it up. He was very confused.
There is no box, man. Yeah, I just...
Cool, box that's it great. Up.
Love that. Thanks, Sophia. This is an email that comes to us from Elizabeth. Just listening to your lecture circuit episode in the voicemail from the lady who talked about how the state of Arkansas was going to use beet juice for de-icing their roads. It, actually, in the episode Vandalism, Dwight actually says he has been trying to get a de-icing gig with the state. So I just wanted to read that because that's I'd never caught that before. But that's hilarious because we talked about how, we could totally see Dwight trying to like get this deal
yeah,
to provide the beats nice. For that. So that's so funny.
La 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 ka-ching.
Quick clarifier. Sorry, Blaine Stewart is a AM news person in Virginia. He's all just right. a hockey fan. I misread his bio and I thought I put it together that he was a hockey, but no, he's just an A. He's a news anchor.
Hey, shout out.
Yeah. Followed by Kate Flannery. Good for Blaine.
Let's do
look us up.
Let's listen to a voicemail from Chris.
Hey guys, this is Chris from New Mexico. Really love your show. Thanks for all the work you put into making it and doing such a great production with it. Definitely love the sound drops too. Those are always fun, so appreciate those also. Nice. Miss them whenever you guys are on an episode where you're not able to give them. Anyway, so I have a question. So the first one is between Meredith and Jim. So we all know that early on, Meredith has a big old crush on Jim. She even tries to get him to, well, she gets him to sign her cast awkwardly whenever Mike is in the car, right? That. But then later on,
when are you going to boo me?
Specifically with the episode with Robert California during Halloween, when he's going around and getting everybody's fears, and the culmination of that episode,
now
he's going on with the story and describes a particular area. He's like talking about someone who's tall and skinny, and it's Meredith's part, and she just goes, Jim. And you can tell that she doesn't like him at all anymore. Mm-hmm. So when did that transition happen? When did Meredith go from having a big old crush and loving Jim to all of a sudden hating him? And then the other one is between Kelly and Pam. So early on, Kelly sets up Pam with a neighbor or something. After Pam's broken up with Roy. And they go out on a double date with the cartoonist, her neighbor, or whatever. Alan. And then, of course, Kelly and Ryan. But then later on, whenever Pam is asking Kelly about whether or not Kelly's going to be at their wedding, the wedding of Jim and Pam, she says, you know, well, can you find out if Ryan's going? Because if not, it's not really worth it. And then she corrects herself and she goes, wait, you know, that came out wrong. I'd really love to be there for Jim. So if you could find out if Ryan's going. So what happened? She used to be friends with Pam and like care about her. And now all of a sudden she only cares about going to the wedding for Ryan. And she would kind of like to be there for Jim, but she doesn't care about Pam at all. So what do you guys think? When did these two sets of relationships go south and for what reason? Mm. All right. Thanks again. Love the show. It's a lot of fun. I've listened to all your episodes.
Yeah, right.
And hope you keep putting them out. I really appreciate them. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, bye. Chris. That's awesome.
Nice. Thanks, Chris. That's great. So there you go. So I love how he says that he missed the drops and you just really, really paid him back.
Drop City.
Well, I put all the Moe's drops next to Meredith's, so they were just right. They were just staring me
ready
in the face.
To go. So a couple of questions there, right? When did these relationships shift? First, Meredith and Jim. Do you have any idea between when Meredith is singling him out and when Robert California has the Halloween episode? At what point does that shift for Meredith, you think?
I feel like it's a gradual thing. When I think it might be for Jim going from like being one of them, one of the workers, one of the team members, along his journey to being a co-manager, and not wanting to participate in a lot of activities. You know, that's kind of a Jim thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe Meredith is kind of tired of him. Maybe he's a rejected too many of Meredith's advances. maybe it's something like that.
Yeah,
that's my take.
There's also in when he gets the haircut.
Oh, go ahead.
When he gets the haircut, Meredith's like, give us a little twirl.
I don't think it ever goes away for Meredith, that part of her. But I agree with, I think that's it, Edwin, for me, to just like as simple of a reading as I could see is like when Jim gets married is when it goes south because he's officially off the market for Meredith. And now she's like, I don't care about you anymore because before you were single, even when he was engaged, still single technically. Mm-hmm. Tax-wise, and then now that he's gone, she's like, now he's just tall and skinny and scares me.
Right. For a while it's BFD, engaged, ain't married. I also think about in Gossip when Michael is spreading the rumor that Pam's pregnant and he tells Meredith and she's like, really? And like looks at her and she's like, she's gonna hate having kids. And I don't know if like maybe that's maybe that's a moment where it's just like, ah, then, all right, they're done. Can't.
Busted. Walk of shame.
All right. But then the second one was, when does Kelly stop liking Pam, or did she ever like Pam? She tries to set her up with a double date with her and Ryan and Alan, you said?
I kind of feel like my take would be that Kelly doesn't actually stop liking Pam. It's just part of the way her personality is and the way she just kind of treats people. Because later on in season 8, when they're like couple friends with Kelly and Robbie and Jim and Pam. And they're like hanging out together and that kind of thing. I feel like it's just part of Kelly's personality to be kind of casually like hurt people like that or say things like that without really thinking about it. I'm thinking of early on, I think when the branch is closing, she wants Pam to sign something. It's like a yearbook type of thing where she's like, Kelly, best wishes, love, Pam. That's it. She goes, P.S. What a long, strange trip it's been. Something like that. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And you think about the way that Kelly treats Aaron. Yeah, oh, yeah. Same kind of thing.
Well, yeah, Kelly's loyalty is very fickle. And as we've seen from her relationship with Ryan, I think she can go from love to hate on the flip of a coin. And like, there's a lot of examples where she's just like, I hate this person. And then one small thing happens and she's like, I love this person. Like, that's almost what she does with Dwight and Jim when they're doing her birthday. And then they just like get her that cake and give her that thing. And she's like, oh, it's great. So I literally think the smallest thing, she just changes her opinion. And it also might be, I think it's not that she like really likes or hates Pam. I think she starts to not like Jim a lot. And then it's just Pam by association.
Yeah.
After that.
Get a divorce.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
I don't know. Do we have time for one more here?
We're
running a little long.
We're coming up on an hour, I think.
Oh boy.
We could probably just go to Ordinary Things if you'd like.
All right. Yeah, no problem.
Save some of these
questions. Yeah, we'll
keep doing questions for the next couple weeks on our conference rooms because we got a lot to get.
Definitely.
To,
so. Yeah. Thank you to everyone who sends us voicemails and emails. We'll tackle more of those soon. It's time for Ordinary Things.
That is our building. And we sell paper.
All right. Welcome to Ordinary Things, the segment where we talk about how some moments or ideas from The Office made us think of memories or times from our own lives. I have the first question coming from, of course, Cousin Moe's. And here it is. In Garden Party, we see Moe's line up all the cards in the cornfield to jump them like Evel Knievel, then proceed to run across them. What's the biggest stunt you've ever pulled, intentional or otherwise?
Okay, this is a good one. All right, what I could come up with was this, and stop me if I've told this on the show because I don't think I have. For a few months, I had a party trick that I had learned how to do where you can break...
I'm already so into this.
Where you can break the top of a champagne bottle off with a saber or a sword or a butter knife or anything, actually. People do it with like the bottom of a wine glass and things like that. But it's just kind of like a
saber
physics.
Or sabre.
That's right. But it's just kind of like a physics thing. Like the carbonation that's in the bottle kind of helps to just like shoot off the end of the bottle, and it's very fun and cool. But anyways, I bought for my parents-in-law for Christmas a saber specifically for sabering champagne bottles, and it has like a tassel on the end of it, and it's very like ceremonial. And they were like, this is great, you know, you should like christen it for us, like let's open a bottle. And so we went outside, and a couple, like, you know, Ryan was filming with her phone, and I was like, all right, I really want to get this in one try, because you can sometimes you gotta go tink tink a couple of times and then it goes finally. But I was like, I want to get it in one, let's do it. And I swing the sword and the bottle just explodes and glass goes everywhere, and I got glass in my fingers, and it was like an immediate okay, well, let's go to the hospital. <It's>
like... Those are such surreal moments where it's still kind of calm. You're like, oh man, well, we got to go to the hospital.
I'm okay,
now, guys.
But this whole day is ruined.
I'm seeing this and I don't like it. And we got to go.
Yeah. So I got for 7 sure. stitches in just 2 fingers, and and it's still kind of healing a little bit after a few months now, but got a good video out of it at least. Yeah.
Content.
I mean, for a minute there, I felt like Evel Knievel when I was able to pop the tops off of those champagne bottles, but I may never do it again.
Your version of Moe's just running across the cars instead was just completely exploding the entire bottle.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I have a quick one here. I was years ago used to play on a hurling team. Just, you can look that up. I'm not going to get into what that is, but we used to do a big camping trip as a team. Oh. And yeah, two of the guys on our team were arborists, or one of them was, and he'd rigged up a whole rope swing on this tree that was overlooking a big, kind of big sloped cliff on the edge of this campsite. And so he hooked up a rope to the tree, and you'd basically run out, you'd jump off the cliff, you'd swing around the tree and land back on the other side of the tree on the same kind of cliff. And we were doing it with harnesses for a while, and then we weren't, because it's really just, you hold the rope and you swing around, it's really fun. And we did it late into the night, and from a combination of alcohol and just exhaustion, at about 1:30 at night, we were doing it with headlamps on, and I swung out, and right about the middle of the swing, I passed out and just dropped off the rope and just disappeared into the darkness over the edge of a cliff.
Oh my God.
And so to everyone who was there, I jumped out, and then just an empty rope came back, and it was totally quiet. I didn't yell. I didn't make a sound. It was just like, where did he go?
Oh my God.
And so everyone starts freaking out, and I probably took a solid 30, 35 foot fall down. Oh. And it wasn't like a sheer rocky cliff. It's like a very steep slope. Kind of up, I don't know how to describe the terrain, but miraculously somehow I didn't impale myself or land on rocks or anything. I scraped the shit out of the side of my body. I had a concussion, but I was fine. I didn't break anything. I didn't whatever. And they right away, I mean, there were like 3 nurses in the whole group there, so they just ran down and were like, Alex, 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 and they came and got me. And I was able to actually like stand up and walk back up the hill on my own and get back. But by that time, they'd called 911, and I got strapped to a headboard, and they took me to the hospital that night. Oh, in an ambulance. And
oh my God,
I was fine. outside of the concussion and the scrapes, and considering that fall and how it was, I can't imagine it could have gone any better for me.
Mm-hmm.
Compare it to when I broke my leg last summer, just roller skating at the park, and just did a little turn yeah. and just shattered one of my bones. So it's like, those aren't proportional. Mm-hmm. Come on.
See, when you passed out, you were fully relaxed.
I think that's limber. That's what they told me at the hospital. It was like, it's probably good you were completely ragdoll when mm-hmm. that happened.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, PSA, don't drink and swing. Be safe out there.
And people who are with me will tell you, I wasn't like really drunk or anything.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
literally just my muscles. Yeah. I just completely passed
something,
out.
The equilibrium in your
yeah. swinging yeah, out. Right. And it was dark, and it just, my body shut off for a second. Jeez. The worst time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I think the moral, it's like you always want to use the safety mittens.
I knew you were going to bring up the safety mittens. I just knew it. I could see it coming.
How about this? Here's another one for you guys. For Dwight's bachelor party, Moe's kidnaps Angela and holds her hostage at a pub, which is later revealed to be a Shroop family tradition. Do you guys have a tradition in your family that other people would not understand?
I think for me, it's less of a tradition and just the fact that my family on my mom's side is very big, and everyone has a nickname. And so my mom is one of 13. So I have a lot of aunts and uncles and a lot of cousins, and a lot of them have nicknames. So whenever like one of my cousins gets married or something, there's like a process where you have to kind of explain everyone who is in the family is who, and why they call them this, and why this person is actually that person. And there's not a lot of rhyme or reason to it. You know, it's just a family thing. And I can't imagine how daunting it is, you know, to come into this big, crazy family with all these different names. But that's
like, if someone marries into your family, it's like, here's the playbook. Mm-hmm. Memorize this whole thing.
I have 70 cousins, each one better than the last.
The only thing I could think of for this was when I was a kid, we used to hold white elephant parties at our house with like all my parents' friends and a big group of people. And at one point, this kind of just, I don't know, nondescript like silver bell got given to us. And the tradition began, which the couple that got this bell accidentally left it at our house. This happens a lot at white elephant parties. Shout out to our friends Peter and Mary, who've collected dozens of gifts over the years for hosting these parties. But they left this bell at our house. And so we went on this mission a few months later to go hide it in their house, so then they would find it. And it became this years-long tradition where we'd try and sneak this bell onto their property or into their possession without them knowing. And what you were trying to do is have them find it and not realize it was there for so long. And this became a tradition that, like, I had to stop hanging out with my friends once because we had to go to this party an hour early so we could try and hide this bell. And my friends were like, why do you have to leave? And I was like, we have to go hide this bell at our friend. It's a whole thing. And anyway, they looked at me like I was a weirdo. And that's the only thing I could think of.
That's a good
The bell has not been seen in like 20 years now. So who knows? Someone hit it really well and it's disappeared.
Keep us posted.
Why would I hide it?
It got to like putting it in like the tire well of their car, yeah. You know, like getting
oh my
it like
gosh.
Yeah, it got intense.
Once we find those wires, we'll be back up and running.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, hey, I think that just about wraps it up for us today. If you guys listening at home want to call and leave us a message, we'll be playing more voicemails coming up in the future here. So 503-694-9314. You can email us mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. And you can join us on Patreon, patreon.com/Michael Scott. For $5 a month, you can become a Scott's Tot. You'll get an extra mailbag episode every month and some extra bonus content on there as well. And it's great to just support the show. We also do a donate. We also use some of that money to make a donation to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund every month. And so special thanks to all of our Patreon supporters and to Ryan Lloyd, who helps us with our social media and designs all our artwork. I've been going through a lot of our voicemails too, so I just want to shout out TJ. You're the man, dude. We love you and we're proud of you. That's fucking awesome. So thank you. Thanks for calling us and for listening.
Thaddeus, we got your voicemails.
Yes, yeah.
if you want to call us privately, we could discuss.
This episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon over video chat.
Thank you as always for listening. It really means a lot to us and it helps us. We really love doing it every single week. So thank you as always. We'll be back next week. Actually, if you're listening to this today, it comes out. Our Patreon episode should be coming out pretty soon. So thanks again to all our Patreon subscribers. But as always, take care, stay safe. We'll see you next week.
Pippity poppy, give me the zobbity.
Yes, sir.
You cannot sell while undergoing fear. You need to vanquish fear. One must wrestle fear to the ground. You will now wrestle my cousin Mo.
No, okay, all right.
Wrestle him to the ground.
This is over, okay?
No, just
no. You're a freak. I'm not doing this anymore, and this is over.
Ryan,
goodbye.
Ryan, you don't have to wrestle him. Ryan, just get in the coffin. Ryan?
Bye, Ryan. You seem nice.
Where are all the animals?
Hey, y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.